This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. La ilaha illallah.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, The Best of Tawheed. In this series, we're looking at the best evidences which prove for the believers the correct form of monotheism or Unitarianism which God had prescribed as was revealed. That correct form with its details are outlined in the various proofs from the Quran and from the Sunnah. So we'll be looking at, and we have been looking at, the proofs that are there, which have brought us to the picture that we currently have of who Allah is, and in that way, knowing we're worshiping, in fact, Allah, and not something besides Him, or instead of Him, that we have been deluded into thinking is actually Allah. Because we have so many people in the world today who are worshipping human beings, animals, stones, trees, stars, whatever. We're worshipping objects from creation, believing that in doing so, they're actually worshipping Allah. So in our previous episodes, we looked at the technical definition of what contradicts it. Then we looked at examples from the common practice among people of acts and beliefs which violate the basic, authentic view of Allah's unique oneness. Among them, we looked at charms, amulets, and omens. Then we looked also at fortune-telling, and we looked at astrology, a part of fortune-telling, but something that has also taken on its own life. And then we went into magic. And from magic, we also went into spirit possession and issues related to it, connected to it. All of that is from the area of Tawheed, or maintaining Allah's unity in His dominion, Rububiyyah, Allah being the Rabb, Creator, Sustainer, who maintains the whole universe. The question is there anyone or anything in creation which has the power to bring good or to prevent evil besides Allah? No. That is the basic Islamic belief. It is only Allah. Allah is in control of everything. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There is no movement, nor power, except by the permission of Allah. The Prophet used to make that dua often. It's one of his favorite duas or supplications. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There is no movement, no power, except by the permission of Allah. Nothing happens in the universe. So, given that reality, anything or any concept which gives Allah's creation the ability to bring good and prevent evil, then we look at that as having violated the basic concept of maintaining Allah's unity with regards to His dominion. We went on to look now at another area wherein violation takes place. It's common around the world. And that is in the area of Allah's attributes, which are unique to Him and should not be shared with His creatures, nor should He be given human attributes. And from that, we are currently looking at Allah's transcendence as a particular attribute, Al-Ulu, and the names that are connected to it, Al-Ali. But it should also be noted that, as we mentioned earlier, in this area of Allah's names and attributes, people have gone astray in modern philosophies by giving Allah's attributes to His creation. And that's the common defense of atheism in our time, where they conceive of and promote the idea that the world is without beginning. Because once they've denied God, then the issue of how did everything start can only be escaped by saying it has no beginning. It has always been that way. Of course, that goes against common sense. Everything has a beginning. We see it in this world. Everything has a beginning. Every created object has a beginning in time. There's a time when it didn't exist, and a time when it now exists. All the different systems that are running, there was something to start it all in motion. Without that first jump start, we wouldn't have anything that we have around today. That's common sense. Anyway, the point is that those who have given the attribute of eternity, of being eternal, to matter, to the world, that has been their way to escape the challenges to atheism. Now, we mentioned earlier that even in the Einstein's theory of relativity, where E equals mc squared, E being energy, being equal to mass times the square of the speed of light, that this formula, which is expressed in words as energy can neither be created nor destroyed, or mass, matter, can neither be created nor destroyed. This is how it's expressed. But once you say something can neither be created nor destroyed, means that it is uncreated and it is everlasting. But only Allah is uncreated and everlasting, without beginning or end. So once we attribute that to matter, nature, then we have given the attributes of Allah to His creation. Now, of course, when you give these attributes to matter, you know, you don't think in terms of, well, what does matter want from me? You know, what should I have to do since I was created by matter, from matter and by matter? Well, you don't ask these questions, you know. Whereas once you think of a personal God, a God who is the creator, then you have to think now, well, what does the creator want from me? What am I obliged to do here? If he created the world, he has a plan. How do I fit into that plan? These are the questions that come up. But when one denies God's existence, then these are no longer questions. They're just accidents. Whatever is there is all by accident, as they claim it. So, one of the other areas of Allah's attributes that we are focusing on in this series is that of Allah's transcendence, His ulu, being transcended, being above and beyond His creation. And in our previous episode, we looked at the implications of this belief, which becomes a defense for idolatry. And we went on to look at how this belief could be rejected, what is the evidence or proof against it. And though we did look at the particular hadith which addressed the topic, we began to look at the proofs against it from first the natural perspective, human nature, children rejecting the idea of Allah being everywhere, because it means that Allah has to be in filth. Then we looked at the proof from prayer. You could say it's also a sort of a natural proof, in that we're not allowed to pray to idols or to any aspect of creation. That is indicative that Allah is not within His creation. Then furthermore, we went on to look at the issue of praying to the Kaaba, in the direction of the Kaaba. Are we worshiping the Kaaba, as many people think, mistakenly? No, we're not. Praying in the direction of the Kaaba is only a means to organize our prayers in congregation. When we're praying together, we have a unified direction in which we pray. We pray as one body, one unit. Moving on past the natural proof and the prayer proof, we can move on to what may be called the Mi'raj proof. The Mi'raj. This is the ascension into the heavens, up through the heavens, till the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ reached the last of the heavens, above which was the footstool, the throne of Allah, and Allah was above that. This is the reality of this world. Most people don't get the opportunity. Prophets have been given the opportunity to ascend into the heavens and to see the world from that perspective. It happened with Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. And during that ascension into the heavens, we know that he spoke also in the seventh heaven, he spoke directly with Allah. If we consider that this Mi'raj, this ascension into the heavens, was one in which the Prophet ﷺ left the material world and went into the world of the heavens, where he met prophets, he met Prophet Moses, he had discussions with him, etc. This process of going up into the heavens till he reached the highest point, above which was the kursi, the footstool, and along with it, the throne, Allah's throne. All of that is beyond the seventh heaven. And the Prophet ﷺ went up to it. So, were Allah everywhere and in everything, there would have been no need to have the Prophet ﷺ ascend into heaven. All of that could have taken place right on earth. But that's not the case. Allah did not have it happen like that. So, in the process of the Mi'raj itself, there is evidence, indirect evidence, that Allah is above His creation. And this is the point that we need to be clear on as we look at each and every evidence to that effect. We're going to take a break now and continue after the break to look at various proofs that show without a shadow of a doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above and beyond His creation and not caught up inside of His creation. With that, we're going to take a brief break, and I will see you after the break. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back from the break. And prior to the break, we were looking at the ascension proof. that Allah is above and beyond his creation and not mixed into the creation in any way. And we said that that represents, from the Prophet ﷺ's experience and going into the heavens, ascending into the heavens, that this whole process was going above and beyond the existing creation and up to the highest point outside and beyond the creation, which is that of the footstool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his throne. It is going up to that base above the seventh heaven. So that contained in it indirect proof that Allah is not everywhere. Otherwise, that whole process could have happened in his room in Mecca. He didn't need to go on this journey and ascend up into the heavens to experience what he experienced. It's not really necessary. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had it happen that way and left it as a proof to those who would come after that he himself was not inside of his creation. Because other religious groups who may have texts similar to the Quranic texts and the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, yet they maintain this idea of Allah being everywhere and in everything, though it goes against the fundamental teachings of what they're supposed to believe in. And the evidences are not in favor of Allah being everywhere and in everything. However, we will continue to look at other proofs which show and indicate clearly that Allah is above his creation. Among the other proofs is what may be called the Quranic proof. The proof from the verses in the Quran where Allah speaks about himself being above and beyond the creation. Either Allah refers to his angels rising up to him, as in verse 4 of Surah Al-Ma'arij, 70th chapter, verse 4. Allah says there, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 سَنَةً. The angels and the spirit, that's Gabriel, ascend up to him in a day whose length is like 50,000 of your years, 50,000 years. In another verse, in Surah Fatir, that's the 35th chapter, verse 10, Allah there says, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. Everything good, it's going up to him, not going in this world parallel. There's no need to go up, because if Allah is everywhere and in everything, then it can be just transferred directly. We also have in verse 36-37 of Surah Ghafir, where Pharaoh himself asks his people, or demands of his people, to make a huge building which would take him up into the heavens and be able to communicate with God, because he had already declared himself to be God. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, as he said, I am your Lord on high. But notice even in that verse, he says, I'm your Lord on high, not your Lord in the world. He's expressing the natural belief that the Lord must be on high, must be beyond this world, higher than this world. So he wanted the building of this structure, which would take him up to the heavens, and so he could be able to converse with the God of Moses, you know, argue things out with him or whatever as he saw it. So what we find is that Pharaoh instructs Haman and says, وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا هَمَانُ إِبْنِ لِي صَرْحًا لَعَلِّي أَبْلُغُ الْأَسْبَابُ أَسْبَابَ السَّمَاوَاتِ فَأَطَّلِعَ إِلَى إِلَهِ مُوسَى وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ كَاذِبًا. Pharaoh said, O Haman, build a lofty place for me, that I may attain the ways, find through it ways to get to what? The ways of reaching the heavens, for me to behold the God of Moses, for I certainly believe he's a liar. So he instructed them to build this massive structure going up into the heavens, which would pave the way for him to go and have a look at the God of Moses, which he believes he was not going to find when he goes up there. Then, of course, we have the names where Allah is referred to. One of his names is Al-Ali and Al-A'la, both of which mean the highest, above which there is nothing. So Allah refers to himself using these names, which indicate that he is in fact above and beyond his creation. And we have verses where he actually states that he is above. For example, in Surah Al-An'am, that's the 6th chapter, verse 18, and also verse 61 is repeated, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. He is the irresistible above his worshippers. Also, we have another verse which describes the believers as worshipping their Lord out of fear, worshipping their Lord who is above them. يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. Those who fear their Lord who is above them. So we have a number of verses in the Quran which indicate that Allah, most great and glorious, is in fact above his creation, above and beyond his creation. And understand then that Allah is beyond this creation. So it's not just simply above, but above and beyond. So with that, we're coming to a close for this episode. This episode, which is from the series, The Best of Tawheed. And we will continue to look at the evidences in the coming episode. We're looking at the hadithic evidence, and also we have logical proof. We'll be looking at these to further establish the correctness of the belief that Allah is above and beyond his creation and not a part and parcel of it, found everywhere and in everything. With that, dear viewers, we'd like to thank you for being with us in this segment of our program. We hope that you continue to follow the episodes as they unfold. I bid you now farewell, and I hope to see you in the coming episodes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning.
Islamic Online University prevents you with the golden opportunity to study the various branches of Islamic studies from the comforts of your home. Now, you get to study at your own time schedule and at a pace that suits you best. IOU is the brainchild of Dr. Bilal Phillips, who envisioned an institution that would offer undergraduate and postgraduate courses online and completely tuition-free.
Choose from the widest range of programs that you can ever imagine. Bachelor's in Islamic Studies, Intensive Arabic Program, Global Quran Memorization Program, Bridge to Master's in Islamic Studies, Bachelor's, Certificate, and Diploma in Psychology, Education, Islamic Finance, Business Administration, and Information Technology. And the Crown, Master's in Islamic Studies.
Our syllabus is based on the bachelor's degree program of Madina University, Om Durman Islamic University, Al-Azhar University, and other reputable Islamic institutions. Your journey to acquire Islamic knowledge is just a click away. Islamic Online University. Changing the nation through education. Register now and get started. Visit www.iou.edu.gm for more details.